The Senate will come to order. Messages.
Madam President, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bill 133, which has been amended by the House, and your concurrence in the amendment is respectfully requested. Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Senator Evers moves that Intern Resolution 1 be adopted.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion?
Madam President.
Senator Evers.
Thank you. If we could ask our interns, Republicans and Democrats, to come to the front, please. Madam President, I would like to address the interns.
Please, Senator.
And I would like to say on behalf of the Senate, thank you so much for your service to us. Every year we have a group of people your age come to us, submit your resumes, and we look them over and we think, my gosh, they're so qualified, they're so great, how are we going to make a choice? And we do, and you end up joining us, being assigned to various people on this floor, and I can't tell you how overwhelmed we've been by this particular group. You are the brightest, most qualified, intensely dedicated group of people that we could have ever asked for. So much of what we accomplish is truly due to you, whether it's last minute handing us the file that we need before we appear in committee or on the floor or before someone sticks a microphone under our nose. No matter what it is, you're there for us. We hope that you too have profited from being with us, that you've at least lost the intimidation to become involved in the political world, and that you realize that it's a group of people who really care about good government. We would be honored someday if you became more involved in the process. We hope that we've encouraged you in that direction and not discouraged you in that direction. We think you're wonderful and truly appreciate what you've done for us. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Hatmacher.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, would like to say thank you to the interns. You're quite an inspiration to us. I know that you figured out the process here and watched us over the last 7 weeks and kind of decided that maybe this was more intriguing than you really originally thought it would be. But I know that you're going to leave here with an understanding of what the legislature is and what the legislature does and how the function, how the process functions. And when you come back again as a constituent or as a legislator, you'll have that 7 weeks of hands-on experience that's going to be very beneficial. I would hope that you all come back to visit, whether it's 2 weeks from now when we come back for that one day or 2 years from now, just to look at the process. But I think it's great. You've done a great job for us, and we appreciate all the things you've done. And I'm sure anybody that's hollered at you wants to say, I'm sorry I did that during the session. So, thank you much. You've been a great group to work with.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being on... Larry, Senator Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the body. I too wanted to express my appreciation for the valuable work. And it's not only what you do right here, but I know you helped out a lot when we've been out of the Capitol, and we certainly all enjoyed the social event you put on for us. As an inspiration, I'm sure you've all garnered from Senator Greenfield the experience that he had as an intern, has now been able to turn himself into a fine senator, and I certainly hope that at least one of you would consider coming back in that sort of position and showing us how you can really truly make that transition very well. But anyway, I do want to thank you on behalf of the Senate for everything you've done for us, for being there. on the House side, when I served there a few years ago, I didn't have the opportunity to have an intern, and you really appreciate the type of work that you do, and it makes our job much, much easier. Thank you very much, and do come back on our 35th day and join us again.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being on Senator Everett's motion that the intern resolution number one be adopted. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Apa?
Aye.
Bogue?
Aye.
Brose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Craddock?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHelick?
Aye.
Dennard?
Aye.
Dietrich Larry?
Aye.
Dietrich Elmer?
Aye.
Drake? Duxbury? Everest? Senator Everest? Greenfield? Hagen? Ham? Hotmacher? Cleven? Ketzel? Koskin? Madden? McCracken? McIntyre? Moore?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Reedy?
Aye.
Staggers?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Bitter?
Aye.
Valesky?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
Senator Bogue?
Aye.
Senator Drake?
Aye.
Senator Everest?
Aye.
Senator Ketzel? Madam President, ayes 35.
The motion is passed. Senator Staggers.
Yes, I rise to a point of personal privilege, please.
That's granted.
Yes, I would like to introduce my grandson. Many of you have already seen him running around the chamber already, and he's right up there. That's Elijah, and that's my daughter, Ann Kristen, and she used to be a college intern here, and her husband is Aaron Bird. And then my wife, June, is here, too.
Good. Welcome.
Madam President.
Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, we also have several other young folks with us today, and I wanted to announce them as a group that we have the fourth and fifth grade legislator shadows with us from the Garfield and Lincoln Elementary Schools in Madison. And their teacher, Mrs. Satter, up in the gallery with us. So I'd like to welcome them all and appreciate them being here.
Oh.
Madam President.
Senator Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam President. I long waited for an opportunity to trade Ken Elbers off, and I'm going to do it. I have Miss Amanda Brown from the fourth grade in Madison, South Dakota, and she's already introduced her teacher, Mrs. Satter, up there. I'd like to have you give her a hand and meet her.
All right, we're glad she's here. And if I could just add a personal comment, I'm so glad to see Mrs. Satter, and I would just like you to know that's one of the most outstanding student programs I've ever seen to get them involved with the legislative process. And we have loved our personal letters and all the extra time and effort you spent to plug the kids into the process, and we hope they'll be back, and thank you for an outstanding job. Reports of standing committees.
Madam President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the House and Senate have, pursuant to the recommendation of the Governor, as to the corrections in style and form of Senate Bill 29, approve the recommendation that the Office of Enrolling and Engrossing has engrossed the changes and has returned the same to His Excellency the Governor at 4 p.m. February 23rd, 2002. It seems like an Arnold Brown chair.
Report some conference committees.
Madam President, the conference committee respectfully reports that it has considered House Bill 1197 and the amendments thereto made by the Senate and the disagreement of the two houses thereon, and recommends that the House do not concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 1197 and that a new committee be appointed. Respectfully submitted, Senators Drake, Putnam, and Moore, and Representatives Richter, Pummel, and Nachtigall.
The President has appointed the committee of Senators Drake, Putnam, and Moore. Consideration of conference committees.
Senator Bogue moves that the report of the conference committee on SJR 5 be adopted.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion. Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate, I know it's been a long day, and I will try and be as brief as possible, but I want to try and give you as much explanation as possible, because hopefully if this bill and the proposed amendment does go to the ballot for the voters to understand, you all will be the emissaries of that constitutional amendment, and it's best that you understand exactly what happened in the conference committee. Two things were changed from what you had seen prior to today. Those changes were, one, line 15 of the original Senate Joint Resolution dealing with the voidance of any votes, contracts, or other actions in violation of that section was moved from the bottom of that section back up to attach to the second clause, which is very much in conformance with the existing constitutional provision, which simply talks about the votes or appointments of anyone who may be in violation of that particular section. So it does clarify that section that that the contract language is not the one that is being voided out, but simply the votes or appointments made in violation of that second clause. That was the first important change. Second one is in reference to the fact that there was language dealing with the conveyance or leasing of real property from the state. The real property that the state has is the school land. The school land is dealt with primarily in Article 8 and Sections 5 and Sections 9, dealing with the sale and with the lease of school land. Both of those sections in our current Constitution require that no sale nor any lease can happen without a public auction. So the public protection and rights to know what's going on are already in place. It's constitutionally protected, therefore that no member has any greater or changed position than any other member of the public in that setting, because it does go through the public auction. Finally, as to the House concerns dealing with the language of own versus control and trying to clarify that, we ultimately decided to leave the language just as it was, for the primary reason that ultimately that language will be defined either by a court or, as I will suggest next session if I'm here, that we define that language in statute. Now, you may say, how can we define the constitutional language via a statute? Well, United States Supreme Court, in a case called City of Bjorn versus Flores, has identified that we, as the legislative body, can do certain things. And I'll just read you a couple of quotes real quick so you understand. This is, again, in context to the Congress, but you'll understand where I'm going with this. The quote is, when Congress acts within its sphere of power and responsibilities, it has not just the right, but the duty to make its own informed judgment on the meaning and force of the Constitution. Were it otherwise, we would not afford Congress the presumption of validity its enactments now enjoy. When the political branches of the government act against the background of a judicial interpretation of the Constitution already issued, it must be understood that in later cases and controversies, the court will treat its precedents with the respect due them under settled principles, including stare decisis, and contrary expectations must be disappointed. Translation for those of you without legal degrees is basically that we as a legislative body can, for terms that have not received a judicial interpretation, we can define those in statute. The court will give great deference to that interpretation. Because this language that we are proposing in SGR 5 is a complete rewrite of that section, we essentially wipe out all former decisions based on the prior language and start forward with a clean slate. Thus, if it passes in November and we come in January with a statutory provision to define ownership, we will not essentially have to put in what will become the length of an insurance policy into the Constitution to try and define what ownership is, because current business law is very complicated and very convoluted. It gets very lengthy if we try to define all the different types of ownership that may or may not arise. So we can do that through a statute with committee debate and discussion. The same will control on the, or same issues will happen on the language about controlling. So ultimately, that language is not without without safeguard, because the court goes on to say it is for Congress in the first instance to determine whether and what legislation is needed to secure the guarantees, and in this case it was the 14th Amendment, and its conclusions are entitled to much deference. However, the court said Congress's discretion is not unlimited. They will ultimately be the final deciders of whether or not our interpretation of the language in the constitutional provision is valid. They will be the final safeguard, as they are a traditional, true, valid third branch of government. And since Marbury versus Madison, they've always held that role. So it is not without precedence. The court has already said that this is possible. I think that the language as it stands now is very solid, very secure. I would ask your support, as you have given it so many times before, of SJR 5 and adopt the conference committee report. I hope that the House will do the same, although we will wait to see what happens on the House side. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being on Senator Bogue's motion that the report of the conference committee on SJR 5 be adopted. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers, Apa, Bogue, Broz, Brown, Craddock, Dugard, DeHuick, Dennard, Diedrich Larry, Diedrich Elmer, Drake, Duxbury, Everest, Greenfield, Hagen, Ham, Hotmacher, Cleven, Ketzel, Koskin, Madden, McCracken, McIntyre, Moore, Munson, Olson, Putnam, Reedy, Sagers, Sutton, Simmons, Vitter, Valesky, Whiting. Madam President, ayes 33, nays 2.
Motion's received a majority vote of the members elect. The report is adopted. Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. I believe we're once again at the point where we should probably take a recess be at ease for a few minutes, if that would be appropriate.
At ease and not a recess, Senator.
Well,
The House just recessed until 6.
Until 6? We might as well recess until 6.
We will be in recess until 6 o'clock. Those in favor say aye. Opposed nay. We could be at ease till 6 o'clock. Would that be better?
Yeah, it's the body's choice. No.
See, I didn't tell him, but he told me. You're lucky.